Then another question before I give the answer. Is it possible for a church to go through wasted years of ministry? Years when the Philistines keep returning and ravishing and destroying? The answer is yes. We need to look back and see where we went wrong and realize that these Philistines, these defeats in our lives are from God. God sends the enemy to chastise, to humble. And you know, it was doing its work in Israel, because we're told in chapter 7 that Israel lamented after the Lord. And if you today have this longing to be right with God, a longing to know God's blessing in your soul, let me tell you, the chastisement, the defeats, the failures were lessons well learned.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we bring to you again the message on Samuel praying against the Philistines. What a man of prayer he was. All the days of Samuel, the Philistines were defeated or laid low, and then afterwards they rose out again to become the enemy of the Lord. This is the ministry of prayer for the Christian. It is our way of victory. It is the way of defeating our enemies. It is the way of power to serve God and accomplish great things for God. And as you look at the life of Samuel, you will learn so much about the power of prayer in the church and in the Christian's own personal life. I want to read to you these verses from 1 Samuel 7, beginning verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb, and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them until they came under Beth-car. Then Samuel took a stone, and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. These are famous words, and the meaning of the word Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The Lord is a God of help. Indeed, there are times when we are brought to the point where all we can cry out, Lord, is help. We know not how to pray. We know not even what to ask for. And when we are in that state of confusion, we can only cry out, help. And the Lord indeed comes to the aid of his children, and he has promised to never forsake them that put their trust in him. And so we learn from Samuel, we learn from this man of prayer, the way of power, the way of victory, the way of deliverance in time of need. So stay tuned with us as we come to this message. But firstly, we have our hymn, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord.
The Lord to depart. Now, the tragedy in the life of Israel is it took 20 years to awaken them. 20 years were wasted that went by before God revisited and there was a repentance and a reformation. You'll know that in chapter 6:1, this ark was captured by the Philistines and it was there for 7 months. It then went to the house of Beth Shemesh, that's chapter 6:19. Chapter 7, verse 2, 20 years it abode in Kirjath Jearim. And it says the time was long. Those were wasted years. Wasted years. Now let me pose a question here at this point. Is it possible for a Christian to go through wasted years in their Christian life? Then another question before I give the answer. Is it possible for a church to go through wasted years of ministry? Years when the Philistines keep returning and ravishing and destroying? The answer is yes. We need to look back and see where we went wrong and realize that these Philistines, these defeats in our lives are from God. God sends the enemy to chastise, to humble. And you know, it was doing its work in Israel because we're told in chapter 7 that Israel lamented after the Lord. And if you today have this longing to be right with God, a longing to know God's blessing in your soul, let me tell you, the chastisement, the defeats, the failures were lessons well learned. Because here we are now lamenting after the Lord. And that's a good sign. And these years of trouble in Israel brought them to the place where they would lament after God. Now that brings us then to the ways we shall see these Philistines driven out. Because as you read down the chapter 7, well, what a mighty victory God did give. Chapter 7, verse 3 and 4, we see that it's after Reformation. After Reformation. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying... Now you'll notice that Samuel's message followed the lament in verse 3. There had to be a preparation of heart. Had to be a readiness to receive God's word. Samuel's ministry had been despised. But now he's God's man with God's message. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord. There may have been the suggestion, we will return to the Lord. There may have been brought to Samuel, what do we need to do to get right with God? And Samuel says, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. This is God's way. You want power? You want victory in your life? Get rid of the idols and the false gods. Get rid of sin and disobedience. Put things right, and God will give you the victory. Another aspect of this in verse 6 is repentance. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day. And they confessed, We have sinned against the Lord. Here is repentance. This gathering at Mizpah. And the pouring out of water was symbolic of their repentance. It was their humiliation before God. And as they poured out that water, they confessed that they had sinned against God. They were defeated and they were in desperate need of the Lord in their lives. This is the form of repentance. And they fasted on that day and they confessed, we have sinned. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Sin has to be judged. The Bible calls us to examine our hearts. Judgment begins at the house of God. And true reformation and repentance will lead you to say, show me, help me, enable me to put things right. And that's what Samuel's ministry was. He became a judge in Israel. He became God's minister to guide the people away from sin and into truth. Another thing that they did to get the victory in verse 7 was prayer. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Here's another big question. Is the church ready for prayer? Is the church ready to really plead with God? There can be no power until God's people set their house in order and give themselves to pray and to seek God's face. And if we as a church and you as a Christian, if you profess the Lord today, if you're not willing to pray, according as Samuel prayed, you won't know the victory. Now, how did Samuel pray? I think we have to take note in verse 9 of Samuel's ministry in prayer. And here is the turning point of the whole situation in the nation. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. There was a sacrifice. There was a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. There's no other gods in the picture, no other deities, no other names, no other notions. Holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. There's intercessory prayer. He's praying for the nation. He's praying for the people. That's the role of prayer in the ministry of the church. How much does Canada need intercessory prayer? How much do our cities and people around us need intercessory prayer? What about unsaved souls in our church, in our families? Can we not be that Samuel that come with an offering in the name of the Lord Jesus and plead for their souls? Unless we be a praying people and a pleading people, we cannot know the victory and the power of God. Samuel, oh, how they pleaded with him. And they asked him here in verse 9, verse 8, you'll notice, here's the people coming to Samuel and saying, cease not to cry to the Lord our God for us. These people had the right attitude now. They wanted prayer. They wanted Samuel to be their minister in prayer. And they wanted to have intercession. And Samuel fulfilled the role. Let me say that Samuel's ministry became the instrument of God to save the nation. His ministry of intercession. And that's what the church is in the nation. We're salt in the earth. We are the righteous in Sodom. And God has said that he will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. And when he hears the cry of the righteous, he will have mercy. He will have mercy. And so we need to be a praying church. We need to be a praying people. And we need to know the power of God. Now, the way God interceded or intervened here, you'll notice in verse 10, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, you'll notice how immediately God answered so quickly. He didn't wait another 20 years or another year or a month. It was while Samuel was praying, the answer came. Verse 10, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. You can see the powers of darkness at work here. Here's a man of God in prayer. Here's a man pleading for the nation. And the Philistines are advancing. And they're coming again to wipe out Israel and finish them off. But it says in the middle of verse 10, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Here's God intervening.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave Himself for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, His name exalted more and more, whom all the saints in whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name.
Here's God mightily answering for this people. And our God hears prayer, and He hears the cries of His people. Is the work of the gospel any different today? Our failures, they ought to cause us to search our hearts for sin in the camp. There ought to be reformation. There ought to be prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus, waiting for the moment when the Lord will intervene, when He will visit again. Now, the best thing that a Christian can do and the church can do is to get right with God. Ichabod has been written over. The testimony, the character, and the ministry of God's people. The glory is departed, and we're left to our own devices. That requires repentance, restoration, and getting back to God again. And until then, all our efforts, all our labors will be wasted years. They'll be empty, fruitless. The Philistines will come and destroy. All our energy, time, and money will never drive out the enemy. We must take the same steps as Israel did. We've learned today how not to try to drive out the enemy. Not by our own might, not by location, not by our own devices, but by repentance, by returning to the Lord, by intercessory prayer, by waiting for God to intervene against His enemies and to give us the victory. And you go down to verse 12, you'll find that this Ebenezer gets a new name. Or shall I say, its name is given its real significance. Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." This place where they were first defeated now becomes the place of great testimony of the Lord's help in the midst. Surely you want that today. You want to have the name Ebenezer in your life. I know the world looks upon Ebenezer as a Scrooge. He's that Christmas carol character. He's looked upon as the ugly one. Doesn't want to give. But if you come here to this Ebenezer, this is the place where God intervenes and God blesses and God comes alongside His people and gives the victory. And we lift up our testimony. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We want that testimony. You want that testimony in your life. You want your family and friends and workmates to know there's one, there's God's Ebenezer. God helps that man. God helps that woman. God helps that young person to live above this world. They live for God. They're the Ebenezer of God. Surely that's what you need in your life. You can't live in defeat onward always. And maybe there has been wasted years. Maybe there has been those times when you've lost out. Well, we know the way back. We have learned the way, repentance and prayer by the blood of the Lamb and interceding with God, waiting on Him to restore and to revive. And you'll notice down in verse 13, so the Philistines were subdued and they came no more into the coast of Israel. Hallelujah for that! They came no more. God can bring the Christian to the place of victory that the enemy is out of sight. Out of sight. Now, I'm not saying you live above any temptation, you live above any of the attacks of the devil, but these Philistines, they knew their place. Don't even try to tangle with Israel, or you'll have to deal with God. And so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. Now notice it. All the days of Samuel. All the days of Samuel. Samuel's name means heard of God. He was a boy born in a desire of prayer. If you remember, Hannah went to the temple to plead for this child that she would give to the Lord. And God heard Hannah's prayer, and she called the boy Samuel, heard of God. And that became Samuel's life and Samuel's ministry. He was a man heard of God. All the days of his life. What a man he was. What a blessing he was to Israel. You and I can be such a man. And we can have the Ebenezer help of the Lord in our lives. And he can make us a blessing. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. Talk about the years that the locusts have eaten can be restored. Here's restoration. All the ground that they lost was given back. From Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Eli Field, Samuel became God's man. And what a blessing he was. We want that blessing in the life of this church. We are covetous. The Bible says to covet earnestly the best gifts. And this is the testimony. This is the ministry that we covet. We long for that men may have to say that all the days of our lives, God used us to drive back the enemy and to give victory to his church. It says in verse 16, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpeh and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built the altar of God. What a man, what a ministry, what a blessing he was. How indeed we are covetous that we might have that ministry from God. Will you join with us for that? Will you search your heart, examine yourself, put away whatever the Lord may put his finger upon, repent of it, seek restoration, come to the place of prayer, call upon your brothers and sisters to pray for you, pray for one another, provoking one another, as the evil days approach. We need to be in prayer. Come to the prayer meetings of the church. Let this be a praying church. Let this be a church that knows victory against the enemy through prayer. That's God's way. Otherwise, the Philistine.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. May the Lord bless you through His Word, and I trust you will be encouraged to press on in the Christian life and serve the Lord. Here is a little booklet called A New Beginning. I'm offering free of charge to any who send for it. And I'm looking at one of the sections here on living the Christian life. Those who have just received Christ are like newborn babes. They have been born again into the family of God. And just as babies need to grow and develop, so do Christians. Here are a few simple basic guidelines for your development in the Christian life. Firstly, baptism. Baptism is both a confession of faith and the sign and seal of the covenant of grace into which the Lord has brought us. As a sign, baptism pictures by an external act the internal washing of the soul by the blood of Christ. As a seal, it is a God-given token of assurance to a believer that he has been born again and savingly united to Christ. As such, baptism is the initial step of entrance into the visible church. Then there is Bible reading. This is vital to the new believer. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. The Word of God is the Christian's food. It will make you strong in the faith. Start with John's Gospel and read it carefully, chapter by chapter. Then do the same the whole way through the New Testament. Try to remember at least one thing out of every chapter you read. As you read the Bible, keep a notebook and answer some basic questions from each chapter you read. For example, what does this chapter teach me about God? What does it teach me about Christ? What does it teach me about the Holy Spirit? What are the leading doctrines? What sins are recorded that I should avoid? What virtues are recorded that I should emulate? And then it goes on to deal with daily prayer, connection between Bible reading and prayer, witnessing for Christ, and church membership. This little booklet, A New Beginning, is a great help to new Christians and those that are seeking that ready information from the Bible. So may the Lord bless you richly, encourage you, and if you'd like a copy of this book, please feel free to send for it by email, phone, or by our church webcast or website. You can do that today. We'll be delighted to get it to you in the mail. Now stay tuned with us, please, as we go to the announcements for your local church.
Thank you.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.